Hello, it's Wednesday, May 17th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. We're going to be joined very shortly by Mr. Russell Pickering, who runs the site PentagonResearch.com, which we think is the premier Pentagon research site. And of course, I'm sure everybody out there listening today has either seen or heard about the latest Pentagon videos that they released to the public, proving, at least according to them, that Flight 77 struck the Pentagon on the morning of September 11th. And I'll be honest with you, Lisa, when I first heard about this, that the Pentagon was going to release a video or videos, my heart kind of jumped up into my throat because I thought, these guys had 4.5 years to doctor any kind of film or to go out to Hollywood and get Steven Spielberg or George Lucas and make this videotape that's phenomenal. That then they'll show it and they'll show Flight 77 hitting the Pentagon and they'll say, all right then, all you crazy conspiracy theorists, what do you have to say about it now? I mean, is that what you're...
Yeah, well, right away, we were expecting some stellar Hollywood-type production Pentagon video, and what did we get, Russell?
Yeah.
Well, we got a little dot that's about 1/8 of an inch high and about 1/4 of an inch long and oddly shaped with no detail whatsoever.
All right. For everybody out there, this is Russell Pickering from PentagonResearch.com, and Russell, you heard me talking about that. Did you have any similar thoughts when you heard the Pentagon was going to release a new video?
Yeah, I was thinking about rewriting a couple of thousand hours of work out of about 2 pages.
Uh-huh.
Well, the whole thing is they right away tell us we're going to see the nose cone, and then when they show the video, they sound almost sheepish, where you have to really slow it down, and then they finally end up circling whatever it is and highlighting it, and they're telling you what you're seeing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised. Interestingly enough, I had a business meeting with two non-believers when the video was supposed to be released. So I talked to these two people, and I said, hey, would you mind if I turned on the news? And they had read the article my local paper did, and they go, oh, yeah, no, that's great. We're interested, too. So I stood there, and I literally, I kind of had, anxiety, like you said. And all of a sudden, when I saw it, I was like, what? No way. And so they were like, oh my God, there's no plane there. And I was like, suddenly they wanted to sit down and change the tone of the meeting to talking about the Pentagon. They're like, I can't believe that. And what's that like glowing apparition there in the middle, And so they were going on, and they were just totally, open all of a sudden to talking about this because they realized that that was bogus, just from a neutral point of view.
Right, and of course the media had to add the totally unnecessary commentary, well, this should silence all of the 9/11 conspiracy theorists out there, which, in fact, they probably created more,
even more
conspiracy
now.
Theorists than they silenced.
Well, there's two more that I know of in my own neighborhood.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Russell, we also understand that you appeared last night on John Gibson's radio show. John Gibson, of course, is from Fox News. He does a television show from 5 to 6 and also radio. So what happened there? We didn't get a chance to hear.
Set this up. How did this communication begin with you and Gibson?
Well, the listening to the same commentary you were was putting me through the roof. So they kept saying, you can just see it's, gouging into the lawn and skinning into the Pentagon. And so it was just driving me nuts. So I just looked up one of the Fox News radio shows and emailed and said, please give me just one opportunity. I'm not going to talk about conspiracy theories or anything, but I just want to send you a picture of the lawn taken by a government official to show you that the lawn was not impacted by anything. And so I got an email back a little later where he told me to call his show during the 7 o'clock hour with a phone number. And then I said back, what do you want me to tell your screener? And he said, just tell him I told you to call. So basically, they were waiting for me, so I called, and the woman goes, that's okay, John said you were going to call, and had it all set up.
And so what happened?
Well, I had made a bunch of notes. I had everything narrowed down, thinking of what was, quick and concise. I was going to actually try to redirect the conversation to World Trade Center 7 just to see if I could get people to go see a video of that. And Cessna, and they said, okay, you're in queue, and then he started his segment. And I swear I didn't keep track of the time, but it appeared to me to be roughly 10 minutes of an insane rant about idiots and kooks and nutcases and just on and on, and he brought up Charlie Sheen, and, you know, and I was sitting there about 5 minutes into this thinking, uh-oh, that's going to be really hard to pop into and even, you know, remotely appear to be rational.
Uh-huh.
So I rethought my plan. I said, well, the only thing I can really demonstrate is the factual error they've been broadcasting, and I think the next best thing is to point out that this was not the only video. So that was my two-point salvage plan once I realized the way it was going to go.
Uh-huh.
So he brought me on. I actually ended up being the second caller. Unfortunately, the first caller kind of fumbled and stumbled and really, you know, basically said the point of 9/11 was to take over the country with martial law.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So, One of those was
good fodder for his cannon already. So when he came to me, I started out basically by agreeing with him, because one thing he did say in his rant was that it was just stupid of the government to not release these for almost 5 years. So I said, look, John, you know, I agree with you 100% on what you said. You know, the government created this void. And yes, there are kooky conspiracy theorists. There always have been, there always will be, something to that effect. But they're just trying to fill a void that somebody else purposely left empty for us. So we kind of went from there. Then finally, I said, and really the main point of my call was just the factual error that you've been reporting on the television box of that object impacting the ground. He goes, well, when you look at the video, that's what it looks like. I said, right. And I can send you up to 20 photos by fire officials, Marine Corps photographers, official government capacity people of the law and immediately after, and it wasn't touched. So he kind of fumbled and backpedaled on that. And then I said, and besides that, on the facade are video cameras, one of which would have been about 40 feet away from what happened, facing directly into the situation. And he said, well, you know, I think that camera, you know, is damaged, or he said something, and I was kind of surprised he knew that. So then I said, well, no, those are remote feet. You know, it's like a hotel security camera. They record it and watch it at the desk. The
uh-huh.
camera can be damaged. So then he just flipped and turned real fast to, well, are you telling me you believe that, you know, our government would allow 3,000 people to be killed to do this? And I said, at the very least, I believe that elements of our government allowed this to happen to justify the middle of the
invasion
of the Middle East. And then he put me on the side. He said, so what you're saying, reiterated. And then I said, yes, sir, I do believe that. And he cut the phone off right then, just immediately. And then he goes, Russell, I think you need to put some rocks in your pockets because apparently gravity's not doing its job. then he played a little laugh track and pressed on.
Well, so he used the tact that since he can't argue the facts, he'll just mock you.
Exactly. It was unbelievable. I mean, effectively, he called me an airhead.
Right.
And then played a little blip of a laugh track because as soon as he hung up on me, I turned the radio volume back up because they have that time delay. So
right.
I actually
right.
heard his end of it, you know, on the radio because there was, I don't know, maybe about a 7 second delay or
right.
something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the best thing you can do in those situations is just plant the seed. I've told you that before, and,
yeah.
and that's what we try to do, because you're not going to win when you're playing on their turf on their terms.
Especially when they control the
right.
buttons there, but we're very proud of you. And
yes,
I want to run one last thing past you. There's a guy named Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch, who is actually associated with the group that issued the Freedom of Information Act to get these videos released. And last night he was on Bill O'Reilly's show, and this is what Tom Fitton said. He said that they could clearly see the passenger jet hitting the Pentagon, that this kicks another leg out from the conspiracy theorists, and it says it reminds us once again what type of terrorism America is up against. So it seems to me, Russell, that this whole Freedom of Information Act thing was a put on right from the start. The Judicial Watch
is part of the cover up.
Is working with the government.
Yeah.
Well, I got that impression, and I read some articles as well that had very similar statements. I didn't realize Judicial Watch was a neutral party, so to speak. I thought it was part of Flight 77.info or Bronco Bingham's efforts. So Bronco and I emailed a few times yesterday, and he is giving getting a CD from the Department of Justice himself, mailed to his lawyer, which should arrive Friday, with whatever original footage and images and resolution. So he's going to give me a copy of that. But his case is a separate one, and he is still proceeding for the release of the other 82 videos.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In his determination, I think they've admitted to having 84, but this was two, and this was two ridiculous.
Right.
One was
right.
a recapitulation of the first one, so there's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then they added some, sequences after, and a few before as well. And then the second thing is just literally about 16 feet further forward from a slightly different point of view. That's it.
Well, and I was going to ask you about that, is nobody in the mainstream media seems to be saying, where are all of these other videos?
Right, considering that the Pentagon has comprehensive video camera surveillance as, like, the core of our U.S. infrastructure.
Plus the CITGO, the Sheraton, the Department of Motor Vehicles, on and on. Why are these videos ever going to see the light of day?
Well, they addressed those briefly on Fox News. Now, originally, when they were hyping up the release of it, they had listed that the Sheridan,
I remember that.
Virginia Department of Transportation. Later in the day, maybe once or twice only, they said that the CITGO camera was not positioned properly, as was the Sheridan, and that the Virginia Department of Transportation does not record their traffic cameras. Which is interesting because I just had a roundabout with their Freedom of Information Office last week because I finally identified what the traffic camera number was that was 75 feet away from the pole number one that was allegedly hit and knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent them an image from that camera, which is just an unbelievably clear view of the whole spectrum. You would have been 75 feet from the wing, seeing the whole thing go into the Pentagon. So they swear to me as well, they upgraded me to a supervisor, and they swear to me as well, their cameras don't record. So I said, well, why do you have a Freedom of Information Act request office? It's because people contact you for accidents and evidence. I know you have a record button. If you have an incident in an area, you can push record because I've studied the type of camera you have. And so anyways, they deferred me to a thing called trafficman.com, who actually handles the sorting out of their images and the downloading of them to the web. So I've yet to contact those people to see what kind of mechanism is in place for them selecting images and downloading, because it looks like those cameras update about every 3 seconds when you look at them live. So
yeah.
I have to follow up with those people who are allegedly responsible for the documentation camera.
Yeah. Well, let me run another observation by you. If nobody would have told me that the videos they played yesterday were new videos, I wouldn't have known there was any difference
right.
from the ones that came out, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, it looks eerily similar.
I mean, what did you think?
Except for, that this is, okay, remember the box that blocked what they allegedly said was the aircraft in the last number? They said you could see a little bit of the tail and then that white trail. So this new video, the second series, is taken from that box. That box actually has a video embedded in it. So that's the second perspective we have. The box that blocked the first shot is where the second series. So if you look at it, you'll see that there's nothing in front of it, just the curb and then the guardrail there at the end of the lawn.
Yeah.
Russell, Ralph Olmholt is also a 9/11 researcher who's focused intensively on the Pentagon, and he made a comment that it doesn't matter what they show, there's no evidence of any forward-moving damage or impact on the structure. Do you agree with that?
Ralph and I have talked a lot about this, and I, have the ultimate respect for him, his information. He has kept me balanced many times when, I was getting wishy-washy on various points of view. I don't entirely agree with that in the sense that it appears that part of the construction trailer was pushed forward, but that could have happened with explosives. In fact, I featured a whole page of just Ralph and his explosives-only theory, which is very solid. I mean, there's points in there that stop and make anybody think. So, again, I don't take an argumentative position
right.
with anybody. So to answer your question, yes and no, I agree with Ralph because he's actually flown a 757, and I haven't. And there's a couple of photographic evidences that I think indicate possibly forward-moving motion, but I defer to Ralph in areas where
Well, let me ask you this about this new video itself. And it's hard to even gauge what we're looking at, but with this nose cone, okay, this very minor nose cone that you can see on the right-hand side of one of the frames, about how far off of the ground are you able to tell how far this supposed nose cone is from the ground?
No, there's really no evidence or even a decent perspective to gain from that. Now, I did an analysis of it, I would say fairly thorough. And what I've indicated, what I did was I took a 757 photo from about the same angle with the light traveling from the same direction as it is, because we can see the sun real clearly in this video. Put it there at the exact same height. See, in the old one, we had the disadvantage of trying to perspective a 757, because all we had was an alleged piece of a tail and no length. This gives us the alleged height of whatever object that is, and height is going to stay the same throughout. So I mapped the fuselage of a 757 to the height, which naturally gives you the perspective of the length and so forth. Put it in there. The first thing that stands out is the bright silver reflection, and even if the camera, you know, is of a fairly low resolution, you're still going to see that blatant bright red color right there. And so I looked at that, and then I looked through the rest of the video, and 200 feet behind where the aircraft would have been on the alleged flight path, you could see cars going by. And there was one that was really bright, a bright white car, so I made a video frame of that. So assuming a car is normally 14 feet long on average, and 200 feet further back, it was really bright, the car was, and I don't know if it was a reflection off the windows or whatever. But in any case, if a 15-foot vehicle 200 feet further back had as much brightness and clarity as this did, then a 150-foot vehicle 200 feet further towards the camera would have reflected heavily the polished aluminum and then the bright red stripe.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So in the analysis I've done so far, we would expect to see a lot more of detail on an aircraft in that position.
Well, the reason I ask is because, at least from my perspective, what little can be seen from this, where I saw the nose at from this supposed airliner, if it's as close to the ground as it looked to me, then that means that the engines on the wings would have been not only rubbing against or scraping against the ground, but actually digging or gouging into the ground. Yet, as you've said, there's no ruts or gouges or anything in the Pentagon lawn, right?
Right, and I think, you know, the gut feeling of the Fox News commentators or video analysts or whatever they have thought the same thing, because they were reporting, there it is, skimming into the lawn, as they put it. So it does give you that impression. For me, I wouldn't make a guess as to how far off it was, but if it's as low as it appears to be, yes, then, you know, we have the generator, we have cable spools, we have the height that tree there was broken off. So, yeah, you know, I mean, the engines are a problem, because the thing stayed below the first floor slab, even according to the official report, and the first floor slab is 14 feet up, and if you set the engine nacelles on the ground, the point, the middle of the nose, would be 11 feet off the ground, and then you would have another 6 feet of fuselage above that, so you'd be talking a total of 17 feet if the engines were sitting on the ground.
Right.
Russell, we really look forward to your final analysis, you and Ralph Olmholt and all the other Pentagon researchers. And I tell you what, that Judicial Watch guy, Fitton, did not appear to be a neutral party based upon his remarks last night on O'Reilly's show. He sounded like a shill for the government.
Yeah, and I want to ask you,
to me,
ultimately, why do you think now the Pentagon chose to release another bogus video?
You think the timing's pretty convenient, Russell?
Yeah, well, there's clearly no basis whatsoever to hide that for any legal reason. I mean, so that's just bogus. The timing, I think, is interesting in a lot of ways. First of all, the Massawi trial was coordinated perfectly with the release of United 93, which was effectively bombing at the box office.
Right.
Then they've had this across America. flight to raise money for the Flight 77 family. So, like, Captain Burlingame's sister and all these people. There's been about 100 articles in mainstream media following this bicycle ride, which just got completed. Then the promotion of 93. Then the Massawi trial. They're really, I believe, upping the ante, heavily pushing, you know, their story now. And now, you know, since April 21st, the articles on Charlie Sheen that I have, because I get a Google alert on certain subjects, there's well over 100 articles. They've made him into a madman, a drug addict, a, you know, a possible murderer. They've completely demolished his credibility whatsoever in the media, and they're ramping this other stuff up. So I think it's indicative of them getting kind of in a corner and saying, hey, you know, we need to react, and the best way we do it is, you know, just through mass media. So I'm thinking this is tied into a media campaign more so than anything.
Yeah, well, it's marketing and hype.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because all of the pundits yesterday that came on TV, a lot of what they were saying was almost as if they were looking at this video as an afterthought, this new video. And what they're saying is, we can't look back. What we have to do is we need to look forward to the war that's going on. We need to look at this enemy that's such a threat to America. And the whole thing was just another episode in this renewed propaganda to keep everybody on the right track and so forth. So the video, it seemed, was just nothing more than a new propaganda device to keep pushing the war forward. Do you agree?
Yes. In fact, they had family members, they had Pentagon employees, they had a number of emotional witnesses, so to speak, all over the TV, Fox News, and nobody talked about the facts of the video because there was nothing to talk about.
Right.
But they all said, well, this is a good reminder of what happened to us that day. This, you know, should give us our incentive to fight the enemy. So they went off in the whole point of view of appealing to the emotion and so forth, as opposed to saying, well, wait a minute, that's in the resolution that the DOD released, that's an eighth of an inch tall and approximately a quarter of an inch long. It's oddly shaped. It's just a white blob without any detail. They didn't talk about any of that. They just said, this is why we're doing what we're doing, and let's do more of it. And, you know, I mean, when they take that track and then they get people there that say, oh, I suffered it, and these conspiracy theories are crazy. Yes, they did suffer. Everybody suffered at the hands of our government that day, but it doesn't mean, you know, that suffering justifies what we've done, you know, i.e. invading two countries, possibly a third, taking away our civil liberties, and on and on and on.
Well, and we should definitely keep our eyes on what happened. And they're trying to keep people from looking deeper into what did happen in the past. And we say it's not resolved, and you must continue to look at it. And, you know, as far as the mainstream goes, they've never been ones to encourage anyone muddying their illusion with rational analysis or science or fact.
Yeah, and I want to read to you, Russell, what Brett Baer, he was the reporter right when this video was released. He was for Fox News, and this is an exact quote after they showed the video the first time. He said, the Pentagon believes there's a nose cone, then a blur into the Pentagon. So they're not even saying adamantly that this is a fact. They say the Pentagon believes this is a nose cone. What do you think of that?
Right, and there is no blur. What that blur is just simply fading out of whatever caused that vapor trail. I think, you know, they obviously hedged their bets, and they played it a lot less. For instance, if we had the clarity of footage of aircraft going into the tower, if we had that for the Pentagon, they would have been playing it every 30 seconds. You can definitely bet on that. I think the thing to think about, they're complaining about conspiracy theorists and, you know, that we're nuts or we're unpatriotic and irreverent.
Just for asking questions.
If the government really cared, if they were upset and they really thought that, you know, we were upsetting the balance and, you know, deflecting energy from the war on terror and upsetting the families, they had their chance yesterday. They had their chance yesterday to blow us out of the water.
Yep.
It would have been so much more advantageous for them to show clear footage, if they had it, than to do this. I think this, in a way, is going to backfire. Mm-hmm. Or anybody with gut feeling or intuition or anybody. people to think about it. I think it's going to backfire.
Yeah, well, on O'Reilly's show, O'Reilly said, well, nobody listens to these people. And the guy sitting from Judicial Watch said, well, too many people are listening to these conspiracy theorists. And I thought that was an interesting comment.
Yes. And this morning, right. I had a chance to talk to two different people about this video. The first one saw it and said, what does the government think we are, idiots? Do they think we really fall for this stuff? But then the second gentleman, he was a defense contractor. He was going back to D.C. this morning, and he didn't have a chance to see it, but he said, well, what was on it? And I told him, and he says, and so he had two different responses. First, he says, well, I had friends that died in the Pentagon, so that means the plane must have hit it. I said, well, just because a plane hit, or just because people died in the Pentagon, doesn't necessarily mean
Flight 77 hit it.
And then he says, well, then it had to have gone somewhere, didn't it? And something had to happen to all the people. And I said, yeah, but that doesn't mean that it hit it either. So what do you say to these kind of arguments when they say, well, I know people that died that morning?
Well, we have to respect that. There are people who lost their brother, mother, father. We have to be sensitive to that. No matter what we're saying, those people did lose family members, and that's important. It's a matter of who caused them to die. So it's not whether they died or not, or you know, by saying that somebody else caused it, it discredits their life, their sacrifice, whatever. It's an emotional argument. I get emails from family members sometimes that, you know, want to yell at me or vent or whatever, and I'm very polite to them, and I say, you know, I don't know what to tell you. This is what I believe. This is what the evidence is. Maybe you should channel your anger somewhere else. In other words, find this and find out. Fight for it and say, what is the truth? What really happened here?
Yeah. But when people say that, just because they say that, they try to base their whole argument on, well, people died that were inside the Pentagon, so that means that Flight 77 hit the Pentagon.
Let me ask
but
you
it
this.
Doesn't, A plus B doesn't equal C, does it?
No, not even close. No, yes, people died. That's true. But who is behind those deaths? That's the question.
Russell.
And for them, it's very hard to even consider the government. Yes, Lisa.
We know that presumptive death certificates were issued by Wally Miller for the Flight 93 crash in Shanksville. We know presumptive death certificates were issued in New York very, very quickly after the events at the towers happened. Were presumptive death certificates, do we know if they were issued in Washington as well?
Then specifically, no. I don't know. That's not something that I've come across or researched. But I did at one point look through all the funerals, memorials, etc. And as I understand it, for the plane victims, nobody had an open casket funeral. In other words, nobody saw any substantial remains of the relatives. That, from all of my research, is what I've concluded. In fact, most received very small urn of ashes or whatever with what remains there had been.
So well, I know D. Mort
helped. As far as I'm concerned, there was no family member positive identification of remains.
I know D. Mort helped with the identification process in Shanksville and New York and in Washington, the Disaster Mortuary Operational Response Team. So
right.
I'm assuming they had a large part to play in Washington as well. I was just wondering about the death certificates.
Yeah. Well, Russell, I know we kept you on a lot longer than we said, and we thank you very much.
Yeah.
One last question. Where are you going next with your research? And secondly, where do you think or what do you think is the government's next step in regard to the Pentagon crash?
Well, where I'm going is immediately making a new page on this ridiculous attempt to you know, reconvince us. I you know, like I said, I have my anxiety about, geez, do I have, how many pages of my site am I going to have to pick off? What am I going to have to rewrite? All I have to do now is add a new page pointing out this new craziness. So that's where I'm going. In general, I think the 911 truth movement, despite our differences and everything else, I think we still have to look at a way to unify. Let's forget plane, no plane. Let's quit arguing over all, you know, these different theories, and let's look at where we're at. We're at a point where they're exerting themselves heavily to counteract us, which, in a backhanded sort of way, is a compliment.
Uh-huh.
I think we have to find a way to unify, set aside our differences, keep going.
And how about the Pentagon? What do you think their next step is, the government, in regard to the Pentagon? Is this the end now? Do they just say, well, we proved it, and there's nothing more to show? Or do they have another step waiting for us?
Well, there's two theories, and one is the bait and trap to get people to go berserk now and say, see, I told you it was a missile. See, I told you it was no plane, to get us rolling on that and really put ourselves in that camp and make a stand and ha, 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 and then possibly release something. We still have to allow for the possibility an aircraft of some sort hit that building.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like you said, a Hollywood production. Either one is possible. So I just say to everybody, let's not go on a tangent. Mm-hmm. Let's stay conservative. Leave the Pentagon as something that needs to be sorted out but really doesn't have a smoking gun. Point people to the time of free fall, the towers, WTC-7, PNAC, NORAD stand down, all the things that are documented and can be proven and are reasonable for a conversation with a person that's never heard of it. So that would be the position I take. And then, can I add one little point?
Sure.
When I said it might backfire on them, it just inspired me to quickly check my web log from yesterday. Interestingly enough, my normal hits for a day is about 600.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I had 2,991 hits.
So you almost quadrupled, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I called into...
No, it did quadruple, but almost quintupled.
Uh-huh.
I called into Michael Collins Piper's show last night, and I did mention you and your website on there talking about Gibson contacting you. So hopefully that had something to do with that,
yeah,
too.
And as soon as your new article on this or your new page, make sure you let us know, and we'll post it on the Wing TV homepage.
But Russell, tell everybody your website again,
yep,
too.
It's www.pentagonresearch.com. And what I'm going to send you my rough draft and actually have you critique it if you don't mind.
Okay.
Give me your input, things I might have overlooked and so forth. And then when it's refined on a page, yes, of course, I'll let you know.
And as we said at the opening of the show, that we think this is the premier Pentagon research site out there. So, Russell, thank you once again for coming on Wing TV.
We held you up a lot longer than we said we would.
We really appreciate it.
No problem, but thank you, guys, and we'll talk to you later. Keep up the fight.
All right,
you
keep
too,
up
Russell.
The great work
take
there.
Care.
Now, we were going to talk about the Michael Collins Piper, Eric John Phelps debate from yesterday afternoon.
Got kind of sidetracked.
Yeah, we'll mention it here somewhere through the course of the week here, but we want to remind everyone also that tonight at 6 o'clock Eastern, we're going to be on Visigoths from the Grassy Knoll radio show from 6 to 7. I'm sure we'll talk about this Pentagon video and maybe the debate from yesterday. But there's a lot going on. We have two good articles coming up Thursday and Friday for the Wing TV homepage. And I'll tell you what, Lisa, it was with this video, like I said, when I first heard about it, I thought they're going to lambaste us now finally with some kind of Hollywood production, but there was nothing there.
Underwhelmed doesn't even begin to describe it. Underwhelming is an understatement,
exactly,
as far as I'm concerned.
So,
that's the best they can do. I feel really sorry for them. They're running scared.
They really are. So thank you, everyone out there, for tuning in to Wing TV. Come back again tomorrow. And until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.